This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition, number 553, Greenergy for Sunday, June 10th, 2012. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the techpodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where each of our member shows produce family-friendly and work-safe podcasts, and we are also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners can all come together. Go check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. Hey, today's podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/totallycooltech. There are over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And we're also sponsored in part by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. The most productive meetings are the ones where you can see how your content is being received. And I'm powered by iced coffee and chocolate cake. The cake is because, well, it's my oldest son's 13th birthday, so happy birthday, Bubba. All right, let's go ahead and jump on into this week's Totally Cool Tech. One of the first things I found this week I thought was pretty cool. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. Found this over at Gizmodo, and the article is, "You did what?" I guess a couple guys, some researchers, decided to teach robots how to build their own tools. So if you're worried about any of the, you know, robots taking over in the future and Skynet and all that, this might be a little bit of why it's going to happen. And there's a video here where they have this robot was given basically a glue stick. You know how there's the 3D printers and all that, and you use all the plastics to go ahead and make all their devices. Well, this thing, this robot, builds its own tools using a glue gun, basically. And this particular one, I guess, is over in Zurich, was given a task to move water from one container to another. And so I guess the robot decided it needed some sort of cup. And what it did is it actually built itself a rudimentary cup or bucket, in a way. And it created its own custom tool. So this is pretty cool. It uses, they call it hot melt adhesive as the glue stick. But this is pretty cool. It's a pretty interesting little video. There's a little bit of time lapse in there somewhere. So it's pretty cool. Check it out. If you are worried about, you know, Skynet and all that kind of stuff, this is part of what's going to happen. So check it out. It's pretty cool. But if you like the 3D building and all that kind of stuff, you'll like it. It's kind of funny. All right. Next up, we have a 19-year-old Egyptian student, female, invents a spacecraft. Next up, we have a 19-year-old girl in Egypt, a student there, invents a spacecraft propulsion device. So this is pretty cool. A 19-year-old Egyptian university student invented a propulsion device intended to offer spacecraft a cheaper method of energy consumption for propulsion. And the propulsion device promises a chance of using quantum physics and chemical reactions in artificial satellites instead of the current radioactive-based jets and ordinary rocket engines. Because basically, you're either going to use some sort of chemical reaction to fire off an engine, or they have the radioactive-based jets. And this one is going to generate energy for space vehicles from electric energy formed by, I believe it's Casimir Polder Force, which occurs between separate surfaces and objects in a vacuum and by the zero-point energy considered as the lowest state of energy. So this is some quantum physics, so it's beyond me. So this could be actually pretty cool. I guess the device uses reflective panels for additional force, which resembles like photovoltaic solar cells. At present, artificial satellites and spacecrafts and space vehicles depend on rocket gas engines that use, you know, the gases coming out at supersonic speed through a little venturi. in the engine and the combustion or chemical reactions, which will propel by solid or liquid fuel, such as radionuclide or petroleum. Other uses are electrically propelled probes, which depend on thrusting force via accelerating ions. So this is going to be pretty cool. I guess the student has patented the device with the Egyptian Academy of Science Research and Technology. And the invention is related to a hypothetical concept of a jet propulsion called differential sail, theoretically created by a NASA retired professor and who led NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Physics Project. Now, there are some opinions that, this is basically, it works great on paper, but it's not going to work in a real world. So it still has yet to be proven, because right now it's all theoretical, but that could be pretty cool. Unfortunately, the picture that is associated with this this article in the Human IPO article is that of a bobbin on a sewing machine on the underside of the bobbin area, where the bobbin goes, on the underside of a sewing machine. So I was kind of like, oh, well, they got, picture of this device. And, oh, nope. Someone had mentioned that it is not that. But still, it sounds pretty cool. I wonder if it's anything similar to the solar sail from Tron. That would be interesting to find out if it's kind of in that light. So, all right. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. This was pretty cool. Self-powered bionic eye to restore eyesight. Found this at Discovery News. And for the over 55 crowd, the risk of vision loss goes up. A new self-powered bionic eye being developed by a team of ophthalmologists and physicists could help restore eyesight to older adults with severely limited eyesight. I guess it's a common condition called age-related macular degeneration. Basically, it destroys the most sensitive part of the retinal located the retina located behind the back of the eye. When that part goes, objects become so blurry that it's difficult for them able to recognize faces and drive cars and read text, because you lose all that detail. And there are retinal implants, but they are bulky and require complex surgery, and they need some sort of battery or some sort of powering system. A team from Stanford University and the University of Strathclyde in the United Kingdom, I'm sure I butchered that name, has created a thin prosthetic chip, from silicon that electrically stimulates neurons in the retina. Unlike other retinal implants, the device is photovoltaic, so it wouldn't require complicated surgery or a battery-powered setup. The professor of ophthalmology and experimental physics at Stanford, along with UC Santa Cruz associate physics professor and postdocs, a couple postdoctorates, have recently published in the journal Nature Photonics. And so this is out there right now. And the prosthesis works in tandem with video glasses that record images and then project what's been captured onto the eye. As BBC reported in a while back, the glasses fire beams of near-infrared light onto the retinal chip, creating an electrical signal that is then passed on to the nerves. When the retina is stimulated this way, the visual perception, the ability for visual perception occurs. So they haven't tested this yet in humans, and the group reported in their Nature article that the chip successfully stimulated degenerated retinas in rats. So right now, the rats are doing well. And hopefully they can get this onto a human test subject. It would be interesting to see. I love this ability to use small micro technology to go ahead and start helping people with limited eyesight and things like that. And I guess one of the surgeons said, with our device, the surgeon needs only to create a small pocket beneath the retina and then slip the photovoltaic cell inside. That is pretty cool. So that is, very minor intrusion onto the subject, and this could be very, very safe and very effective. So pretty good advancement in technology there. I think that is really, really cool. All right, hey, summer is coming, and that means many of us will be spending more time working from home or while traveling. So getting everyone together for a meeting may be an impossible task, but not if you have GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. GoToMeeting lets you host meetings with clients and colleagues face-to-face all the while online. And no matter where they're at, they can get on here. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Attendees can join from any computer, even iPad, iPhone, or Android devices. All they have to do is go ahead and download the free app. You can't start the meeting from those devices, but you can join in from them. That is so cool. Now, my listeners can try GoToMeeting with HD Faces free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Then just download the free app. One more thing, you're going to find this cool. GoToMeeting is giving away 8 new iPads on Facebook. All you have to do is visit Facebook and like the GoToMeeting page. Then you can enter to win a new iPad. And you can, if you refer a friend, if they win the iPad, so do you. That is so cool. Now, go ahead, check it out. Go ahead and like GoToMeeting on Facebook, and you could end up using it on a new iPad. How sweet is that? I hope you win, and don't forget, try GoToMeeting free today. And we have for you the next article up here that we have is a company called Wikispeed, or actually, I don't know if it's a company, it's a group called Wikispeed, and they developed a 100 mile per gallon car in 3 months. Now, if you know anything about the development of vehicles, they take years. They can take up to around 10 years to develop a brand new vehicle. Now, a gentleman called Joe Justice and his Wikispeed team went ahead and developed this functional prototype. And what they did is they used agile radical management methods. Their prototype was developed in 3 months instead of the multi-year process of traditional manufacturing. And a couple of the other things here is the car can go from 0 to 60 in less than 5 seconds. It weighs 1,400 pounds, or just a hair over. It has a top speed of 149 miles per hour, and its ground clearance can be adjusted anywhere from racing to sport utility levels. How sweet is that? I guess Mr. Justice is a young software consultant in the Seattle area, but he is also the leader of the international team Wikispeed, which is now building a fast, affordable, ultra-efficient, safe, fun commuter car that could sell for less than $20,000. And this team is seeking crowdfunding through Indiegogo. Now, they're competing for the Progressive Insurance X Prize. Well, what is this, you ask? What is this insurance, Progressive Insurance X Prize? Well, in 2008, Justice saw the announcement of the Progressive Insurance X Prize, a $10 million prize aimed at seeing if it was even possible to build a 100-mile-per-gallon car to road legal safety specifications. And in 2008, the closest thing that looked like that was out there looked like bobsleds, very economical but not practical. And they achieved 100 miles per gallon, but they only had one occupant. They only could transport one occupant, and they didn't meet any of the safety standards that they needed to. So Mr. Justice decided to go ahead and enter the XPRIZE challenge. He started off alone, but then he blogged about what he was doing and how what he had learned so far. And through social networking tools, volunteers learned about it and came to assist. 3 months later, he had a team of 44 members in 4 countries and functioning prototype that they had entered in the XPRIZE competition. With practically no funding and little experience in auto manufacturing, they tied for 10th place in the mainstream class, outlasting more than 100 other cars from well-funded companies and universities around the world. How did they do it? It's called Agile. The team did all this by developing CAR like a modern software team is using the radical management methods of Agile. It's lean and scrum. This approach enabled them, the team to innovate much more quickly than conventional manufacturing. The existing manufacturing processes are slow because they're very expensive, and there's all this, you know, if an engineer wants to redesign a door, they have to wait a long time to pay off the $100 million door mold before making another one. So they got rid of all that. Now, traditional software development used to be done in the same way, but it was just inefficient as well. So agile software development changed all that. Working in short cycles, self-organized teams worked in a modular fashion and continually would innovate in the light of experience and customer feedback. So it was hardly surprising that Justice adopted this agile method as his first job out of college was in an agile software shop, and this is the only thing he knew. So he just went ahead and applied it to what he was doing. And everything started to come together. He got a lot of more people coming on there, and the software team basically used 1 week sprints. The team iterates the entire car every 7 days, and that meant every 7 days they reevaluated each part of the car and reinvent the next highest priority aspect. This radically accelerated the pace of development. Now, right after the XPRIZE in January 2011, the WikiSpeed team was invited to the large auto show in Detroit, Michigan, and their car was put on the main floor of the auto show between Ford and GM. Man, their stuff was awesome. It looked beautiful, and their car body was done in structural carbon fiber, and they did it in 3 days at a cost of $800. I mean, something like that would have cost them a lot more, like, you know, thousands of more, you know, more dollars, like $36,000 or something like that. It would have taken, you know, 3 to 4 months to get that done, but they did it in just a couple of days for a couple hundred dollars. Now, the cool thing was they were featured on the Discovery Channel, Popular Science, Popular Mechanics, the New York Times, National Geographic Channel, Wired Magazine, Forbes Billionaire Club, even linked to them. So these guys did really, really well, and they're going to be doing some more fundraising, and they're looking to go ahead and get this vehicle done and put out to the public for like under $18,000. As a full car, or you can go ahead and get the kit for like $10,000. So you'll want to check out this article. It is really, really cool. And they're trying to raise, like I said, the money right now, but this is just sweet. Yeah, I'll tell you, American ingenuity can get it all done. All right, what's next? Some really cool alternative energy. It's a sleek wooden turbine, wind turbine, that you can put at your house. And I found this over at treehugger.com, and there's a lot of wind turbines out there, you know, from inflatable high altitude variety to those inspired by bumblebee wings. This design is also innovative, but it really stands out for its sleek wooden blades. And the thing is, they're instead of radial, where they spin around a central hub outward, they spin around a pole, but they're in a vertical orientation, though they're kind of bent around, twisted around the central tube. And this thing is really, really beautiful. Now, and it doesn't have to spin around kind of like your normal wind vane. It takes wind from any direction, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to spin around at all. And it does spin around, but it doesn't have to orient itself to the way the wind is blowing, because it's always oriented the way it's done. It's an Italian company that is developing this. It's a clean technology company, and it calls the turbine the Hercules, despite its slim, almost dainty look. And it's actually designed by Terry Glenn Phipps. The vertical axis setup can take advantage of wind, like I said, coming from any direction. So the entire mechanism doesn't have to, like I say, reorient and adapt to shifting weather conditions. It has three wooden blades, each measure about 9 feet long, it says about 15 and a half pounds. That's not too bad. The Hercules generates about 3 kilowatts, just a fraction of a large turbine's output. But with a focus of the design on aesthetics, the Hercules is not made for commercial applications. Rather, it's for individuals who want to use renewable energy, like in their home, in their backyards. this is pretty cool. It's very beautiful, and there's a device, the inverter and all that, would be in a small, like a really small refrigerator-sized enclosure that could go inside like your garage or something like that, and put that back into your home, back into the grid a little bit, if you wanted to do that. So this is pretty cool. I don't have a cost for this, unfortunately. If I could, I would get that to you, but I could not find a link to that. But this is really cool. I think this is something that everybody should have in their backyard. It's beautiful. It makes complete sense, and you could actually probably put like a small community on this if everybody's in a neighborhood was tied together. Yeah, that could all, you know, go together and have some sort of like little grid thing going on there, a little small grid thing. Next up, DARPA is trying to diagnose and treat soldiers faster. One of the problems with soldiers is they're out in the field. Okay, they're out in the field, and if they get hurt, or actually even worse, come down with an illness, it's hard to find out what's going on quickly because they are out in the field. They don't have, you know, the better labs that they would have back, you know, in a base in the rear, or at a better facility. And the Ford facilities are good for, you know, treating, you know, physical injuries and things like that, but infections and things like that, it's not as good. So what they're trying to do is this thing called in vivo nano platform. They want to do a diagnosis and a therapeutics. And what it is the diagnostics program efforts aim at developing a generalized in vivo, which means in the living person or organism, platform that provides continuous physiological monitoring for the warfighter. You know, specifically, it will investigate technologies that may provide implantable nano platforms using biocompatible and non-toxic materials, in vivo sensing of small and large molecules of biological interest, so, you know, to get in any kind of nerve toxins, biological weapons, stuff like that, multiplex detection and analytes at clinically relevant concentrations. So if they, you know, they find anything that's going on, whether it's some sort of, it's a regular illness, or maybe it's an illness that happens in that particular area of the world. And there's also external interrogation of the nano platform free from any implanted communications electronics. Not really sure what they're saying there. I think they're maybe trying to get the data from the sensors implanted, and a complete system demonstration in a large animal. So that's what they're trying to do. They're looking for technologies to do this. And that's just for the diagnostics. There's also the therapeutics program effort, which will seek unobtrusive nanoplatforms for rapidly treating disease in warfighters. This is going to be interesting because you know that DARPA wants things done fast, but one of the things that they want from this as well is it's going to have to be able to go through the FDA approvals and things like that. So this is not just something that's going to be, okay, we're going to go around all the normal channels. We do want to be able to go through the regular channels, but they want to do this fast, and they have a good track record of doing this. So if you want to read a little bit more on this, you can go ahead and find this over at The Next Big Future. We'll have all the links for you. Okay, for you listeners of the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to go ahead and check out their service. Audible.com is their premier provider of digital audiobooks. Audible has over 100,000 titles to choose from in every genre: thrillers, business, romance, comedy, sci-fi, and more. Audible titles play on iPhone, Kindle, Android, and more than 500 devices for easy listening at any time, anywhere. And I found one I thought that was pretty cool for you guys if you're a Star Trek fan. It's called Red Shirts, a novel with three codas by John Scalzi, and it's narrated by none other than Will Wheaton. How cool is that? And this thing is even on sale. So if you already have an Audible account, you want to go ahead and get this thing if you're a Star Trek fan. This is pretty cool. And you know about the red shirts in Star Trek. They always get, you know, someone's going to die when you go on an away team. Well, this is all about that. It's pretty funny. Pretty cool. So you want to check that out. Now, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/totallycooltech. Again, that's audibletrial.com/totallycooltech. That's all one word, totally cool tech, for your free audiobook. All right, check that out, folks. All right, next up, we got some pretty darn cool helicopters. I found this over at Techie Blog. I think it's called Techie Blog. Yeah, Techie Blog. Every time I see it, it kind of throws me off. I don't know if it's Techie Blog or Tech E-Blog. Not sure. But anyway, it's cool. They got some really great stuff. And there are some really cool helicopters that actually exist. They're not prototypes. They're research helicopters, really. But they are so cool. One is called a Shadow Hawk, and it's a UAV. And this helicopter is not just a flying machine. It's called the Shadow Hawk UAV. It's a tiny helicopter. It may only be like 7 foot and it weighs, I don't know, less than 50 pounds, but it's already being used to track pirates off the Horn of Africa and enforces law on the streets of the U.S. Buyers have the option of a turbine or piston engine, and they can get thermal cameras, laser pointers, range finders. And they can also choose to install taser batons, a 37 millimeter or 40 millimeter grenade launcher, or 12 gauge shotgun rounds. How cool is that? This thing is sweet. It looks like a very large remote control toy helicopter, but it's big. It's actually, you know, it's fairly big. It's 7 foot long. But this thing is awesome, and it does have, you can get it with FLIR. You can get it with regular video. It's fast. It goes, I think it was like around 50 miles an hour or so forth. But that is too cool. And that's unmanned. So there's going to be a pilot remote controlled, but you know, that is so slick, man. That would be like the ultimate remote control helicopter for anybody who's a nut about doing those. You know, there's a lot of people would love to have that kind of stuff with that kind of firepower. 40 millimeter grenade launcher. Come on. Taser. That is too cool. All right. Also the Sikorsky X2. This thing is really sweet. It broke the world helicopter speed record by hitting 299 miles per hour, and it uses a single T800 engine to power both the horizontal rotor and the tail-mounted variable pitch propeller, which provides forward thrust and enables that high speed. There's other technologies in it, including fly-by-wire controls and active vibration control. That is cool. Now, it does have the double Sikorsky style of helicopter to counter-rotating blades in that. And with that comes a bit of vibration you can get from that. But they obviously did some work on that and kind of got that taken out. And yeah, at 299.2 miles per hour, that's pretty fast. And the number one helicopter that they list here is the Eurocopter X3 hybrid demonstration. The Eurocopter X3 can now, they at one time, I guess they claimed fastest helicopter because of their hybrid design. And as I look at this thing, it has a regular helicopter rotor blade, five blades. It has a very wide tail section, and then it has two wings that come out from the engine area, and on that are two propellers, so forward-facing propellers to give it the forward momentum. And it is fast. Not as fast as the X2, but apparently it was like around 180 miles an hour, 185 miles an hour. And the nice thing about it is it does have the VTOL capability. So it can hover like a helicopter, because it is a helicopter, but it does have fast cruise speeds of a turboprop powered aircraft. It only takes one extra engine to drive the additional propeller, so no fancy autopilots or stabilizing system are needed to keep the X3 flying, just like a normal helicopter, but you probably won't get the same gas mileage. So this thing's pretty cool, and it does have some impressive climb and descent rates, as well as excellent maneuverability, along with outstanding capabilities for acceleration and deceleration. There's some video here from YouTube. You can go ahead and check that out. Some serious helicopters. These things are totally, totally cool. Okay, over at Tree Hugger. Another great article here. It's an interactive solar art that lights up a new Sydney space in the Darlington Quarter. And what they did is they revitalized this area, and they have inside these two buildings, on one side of the building facing this the new area that they revitalized, is all these LED lights. There's sets of LED lights, and there's 557 windows, and it spans about 150 meters, and it incorporates one set of lights and of LEDs in every window. And it's powered by rooftop solar panels. Now, the thing is, there's a lighting show that you can do with this. And this is the guy who designed this has previously created lighting stage shows for acts like U2 and David Bowie. And what's really cool is there are kiosks in Darlington Quarter in Australia that people can use to go ahead and program these lights with sound to do some really cool, I guess you call it art, light dancing, something like that. You get some music and a musical light show going on. It's really, really cool. They call it, it's kind of like a giant arty karaoke, according to the systems designer, which actually manufactures this. And it's a sound-based design that can also be projected on the canvas is what they, I guess what they're saying it's like. And anyone from around the world can actually, you can go online and program this thing. It's really cool. You can use, there's kiosks in the area. You can even use the smartphones, your smartphone to go ahead and do this. And I guess the facade is currently active from Tuesday to Sunday from 7:30 p.m. onward with interactive content on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So this is really cool. You're going to want to check this out. It's viewable from the street area, where, you know, everybody's, you know, going around and going to the shops and all that. So it's a nice little place at night to check this out. Some video here. You can check that out and see how this works. It's really awesome. And I thought it was super cool. And I even went on and checked out the online. I didn't program it, but you can do that. That is so cool. And then you can watch it go. That is really, really cool. All right. Last up, from Raytheon, we have... the Tomahawk cruise missile is evolved, and this is pretty cool. If you remember anything about the first Gulf War, it's probably one of the major times that we really saw the cruise missile being used, and again in the second Gulf War. And I guess over 2,000 Tomahawk cruise missiles have been used in combat, and I guess that was the 2000th one was used during NATO-led effort against the regime of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi back in 2011, and it played an instrumental role in that operation. One submarine fired more than 90 missiles at a variety of targets, and as the battle space and the need of the warfighters evolves, Raytheon has continued to change the way this thing works, and has always done everything they can to support the warfighter with the world's best cruise missile. And I guess today's Tomahawk, it's called the Block 4, can circle for hours. It can shift course instantly on command and beam a picture of its target right down to controllers halfway around the world. And the thing about it is, I mean, you can change the targeting on this thing in an hour versus the pre-programming it, which took 80 hours. If you wanted to change what was going on, where you wanted this thing to go, it would take 80 hours to do that. Back when this thing first came into existence, which is probably back in the 60s, 70s. I can't remember when it first started. But these can go into fly into heavily defended airspace and precisely strike high-value targets with minimal collateral damage. And for these things to be able to just go ahead and, unlike, you know, the unmanned aircraft, which cruise around an area and, you know, the predators and things like that, that maybe be able to drop a bomb and things like that, this thing's on a one-way mission. But if you fire it and all of a sudden you figure it out, you know, my target's changed, you can just have it cruise around for a while until you figure out what you really want to hit, and then change it on the fly, literally. So it looks like, yeah, they just got a $338 million award to develop this new Tomahawk. So actually, that's kind of cool. You know, before it was not so much of a smart weapon. It was precision, but it wasn't that smart. And now you can make it smarter by giving it the ability to change its targeting in the middle of its flight. So thought that was pretty cool, mainly because I used to be in the military, so I kind of find this cool. But hey, that is going to be it for today's podcast. And if you like the show, hey, please recommend us to a friend. All of our show notes and links and contact info are on the website at totallycooltech.com. If you have any questions or comments, just go ahead and email me, norbert@totallycooltech.com. And if you know about any cool tech that you think we should be talking about on the show, please send in an email or audio comment about it to norbert@totallycooltech.com. Or you can go ahead and call the Totally Cool Tech Podcast listener line at area code 540-999-TECH. Go ahead and you can check me out on Twitter. Just search for TCT Podcast. And we'll have all our links, like I said, in the show notes and all that. You can find our email, our Facebook page, our Twitter account link. You can follow us there. We have our Google Plus page and our Google TCT page. So there's one for me as Totally Cool Tech and one for the Totally Cool Tech page. So you want to check that out. Yeah. And don't forget to check out our advertisers. We have Audible and GoToMeeting. Pretty cool stuff there, folks. All right. That's going to be it. I will see you next time.